As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't be left out. Baseball isn't boring on WEEI.
Boston's Sports Original.
Well, that music only means one thing. We're back. Baseball's and Boring Show live from the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. I'm Rob Bradford along with Sammy, Pat, Gordo, Zach behind the glass. And as he is so nice to do every single week, almost every single week, we really, really appreciate the dream maker, otherwise known as the farm director of the Boston Red Sox, Brian Abraham, joins us. Hello, Brian. How are you?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
It's going great. These guys are talking a lot of nonsense. It's great. I respect their opinions, but it's their prerogative to be wrong. So, Brian, okay. Yeah, it's just setting the scene for potential things that I may disagree with you about. All right, let's talk. Let's get to the nuts and bolts, okay? I'm going to steal Gordo, Sammy's question, I think. Tell us about Roman Anthony's shoulder, and how do you view his progress over the first 3 weeks of the season in terms of where you thought he might be?
Yeah, his shoulder, some minor shoulder soreness. He's been in a throwing progression while DHing over the past week or so. Actually spoke to him this morning. He's feeling great. But, you know, it's on our end. It's important we take care of our players. We're responsible. So we've taken the ball out of his hands in terms of game action, and just kind of forced him to slowly ramp back up, to get some more strength in his shoulder, let it stretch out a little bit in some long toss pregame, and prepare him for potential game action in the very near future. But he's really doing well. Again, certainly think that it's minor for sure. I mean, obviously he's still hitting and hitting extremely well, so we don't consider it anything serious. But need to take care of our guys, need to prepare him so when the opportunity knocks, he's able to not only hit but play the field as well. So we're expecting that in the near future. In terms of just the progress so far this year, not surprisingly, he's consistently hit the ball hard all over the ballpark. He's made some good swing decisions. Everything that we'd want him to do at the plate. He's been able to get some time in left field pre-shoulder injury, which has been important for him to increase his versatility in the outfield. Again, he's played left field before, but I think we put a little bit more focus on that position this year during his time in Worcester, while getting some reps in center and right as well. But overall, couldn't be more pleased with his progress. I think for him, it's having consistent at-bats, continuing to hit the ball hard, really focus on his training and hitting the ball hard in the air pull side. I think that's where he does his most damage. But as we know, the game often dictates where balls are hit, and his ability to drive the ball to all fields, like his grand slam the other day to left field, is certainly something that we're excited about.
Hey, Brian. So I want to talk a little bit about Vaughn Grissom, and I know Rob's going to take
the credit. Yeah, I take full credit, Brian, for all his success this week. Because as you know, because I know you listen to the podcast, you listen to his interview.
I did not listen to his interview. I do listen to the podcast. I have not listened to his interview.
Okay. Well, you're going to want to listen to it. It's very insightful.
Okay. I'll do that.
He said he hadn't played first base since travel ball, but he likes, enjoys it and everything else. But anyway, I just wanted to interrupt Gordo by saying that when you come on the Baseballs and Boring show / podcast, great things are going to happen. So that's why you've been so excellent this year. We appreciate it. Oh. Keep up the good work and just know where it's rooted in. Anyway, Gordo, go ahead.
So as I was saying, Rob's going to take the credit for it, but I want you to elaborate on a little bit of what Vaughn Grissom has been working on to have this much success. I mean, OPS over 1,000 at this point, 5 extra base hits yesterday. I mean, he's just been hitting the ball harder than he has in his Red Sox career for sure. So just curious, what has Vaughn Grissom been working on, particularly since he left spring training and got to Worcester, that is allowing him to have this much success?
Yeah, I think first, you know, we're seeing a spring training and then an early season with him being fully healthy. You know, last year he was banged up. He had the hamstring issue, and I don't think ever really got to full health and really until the midpoint of the season. So I think just having a full off season, getting bigger, getting stronger, having a full spring training, and then coming to Worcester fully healthy first and foremost was a priority and has been a huge advantage to the work he's putting in. Secondly, I just say the work is incredibly intentional in terms of the work he's putting in. He's focusing on swinging the bat fast, focusing on impacting the baseball. You know, we do a lot of training in the cages about, you know, pulling the ball, hitting the ball hard, overload, underload bats, weighted bats, all focused on impacting the baseball, swinging at strikes, hitting the ball hard in the air. And I think the training for him has been off the charts. He's really focused on that, has worked really hard understanding that that will lead to success on the field. And it's not only dictated by a hit or two hits. It's how hard he's hitting the ball, how consistent his at-bats are, his ability to swing at good pitches and hit them hard. And those have led to impactful extra base hits. And again, we're very pleased with the training, very pleased with the work he's put in. He's coming in every day. Knows he's going to be in the lineup. And credit to the Worcester staff, you know, Colin Hetzler, who's the new hitting coach, Doug Clark, Chad Tracy, the manager, just did an incredible job with our players down there and being transparent and informative with what he needs to do to hopefully get another chance in the big leagues when his name is called.
Hey, Brian, Sammy here. So my question, I want to hear about Luis Perales. He was killing it last year pre-injury. Saw he was ramping up. I think it was at the spring training site recently. Just want to see, do you have an upgrade on him, and how's he looking for the rest of the season?
Yeah, like most long-term rehabs, not a ton of exciting news other than he's just ramping up, progressing his throwing progression. Certainly hopeful that he is he's on the mound and in game action towards the end of this year. But I think we always have to balance that, you know, cautiously optimistic all the time. You know, we're dealing with players' bodies, we're dealing with rehabilitation that a lot of these players have not ever dealt with before. But I know Luis has added good strength. He continues to focus on the mental side in terms of just being able to be a competitor, handling the things that he can control. And then I think just do overall shoulder strength and arm strength as he continues to rehab. But he's worked really hard down at Fort Myers. It is a grind, no doubt. I don't think people realize how hard it can be to, you know, all of a sudden you're with your teammates every day, you're working hard, you're pitching every 5 days, and then you are in Fort Myers. There's certainly plenty of players there, but as we all know, when spring training is over, it's a different environment down there. So I think making sure he keeps his foot on the pedal and continues to push himself hard is a priority for us, and he's been doing that. So it's been good to see.
You're so right about the Fort Myers thing, with one exception. These guys would stay down in Fort Myers forever. I mean,
don't loop them in with me, Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Always could use the energy.
Yeah, well,
can always use the energy down there. So, can throw BP, maybe put a ball in the machine, hit a fungo.
You know, but here's the
thing. Don't tempt me.
Here's the thing, Brian, though, is the payoff of the hype machine that they would bring to the park every day. The counter to that is that since they go to set Twin Peaks for 3 of the meals each day.
Oh, allegedly. Allegedly.
Seven times in 4 days. I have the math.
Alleged. Right?
So we don't want to do that.
Yeah, we need role models. That's for sure. I don't know if we want our players to have good salads. Hey, maybe it's a fresh start. Maybe it's a chance for a fresh start. You put on that Red Sox uniform and put on a red pair of socks, and you guys could be new people. Who knows?
Oh, look at that! Put it on the bumper sticker.
Yeah.
Let's go, Pat. What do you got,
Ryan? So organizationally, the pitching depth is miles ahead of where it has been in recent history. And, you know, there are guys we're seeing right now, Hunter Dobbins, Richard Fitz has obviously been really good. But even down in the lower minors, guys like Juan Valera, Brandon Clark, one guy who is starting to really kind of stick out amongst the group is Connelly Early. What are you guys encouraged by with how he's been throwing the ball so far?
He is, I would say, in terms of the work that's been done over the past couple of years, in terms of perfect attendance in Fort Myers for offseason training, I think Christian Campbell has, as has been well documented, the model for the position players. Connelly Early has been the model for the pitchers. He hasn't missed a day. He's put on good weight, not only this past offseason, but last offseason. And it has showed. His velocity has ticked up. His secondaries have ticked up. He's able to challenge in the strike zone, get swing and miss in the strike zone. And he's a completely different pitcher than the pitcher that we initially drafted. And again, a ton of credit to the acquisition group and the amateur group for finding guys that know will work hard, that know will be willing to make adjustments, that know that they might be good, but there's still plenty of room to grow. And I think Connelly is a prime example of that. And again, I think with the added velo, not only just his fastball, I think when we talk about velo, the media thought is, oh, fastball velocity. I mean, that is great. Don't get me wrong. We love guys throwing hard. But I think what people forget is that also increases your secondary velo of your secondary pitches, and that allows them to play up. That allows for more challenging off-speed pitches in the strike zone as well, and provides a confidence to a pitcher that they can get anyone out in the strike zone. And ultimately, throwing nasty stuff in the zone is something that we really believe in, and something that Connie, I think, has embodied this year and most of last year as well.
All right, last thing for me, Brian, maybe, but I have two pitchers who I want to recognize their surface, and they're dramatically different. One is Nick Birdie, right? Guy who signed late with the Red Sox, but has been really, 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 really good with Worcester. If you could just sort of give me either perspective of him since he's coming to the organization now, in case people don't know him, he pitched for the Yankees last year.
Yep.
He was really good in 12 games. He had a 1.86 ERA. He's been in the major leagues before. Again, a late signing for you guys, but sometimes these sort of guys, over the course of a major league season, they pop up and do the whole Ryan Brazier thing. Like, wait, what? Who? Big number 97? Yeah. Who is it? He didn't have a name on his back? Oh, that's Nick Birdie. There you go.
Yeah.
All right, so I want you to talk about him. But the other one I want you to talk about, if you can, is a guy who I saw in spring training. I'm like, why aren't more people talking about this guy? And that's Shane Drohan. Don't mess with the Drohan, right? He is young Ricciardi, scouted him, helped sign him.
Yeah.
I mean, and obviously he went to the White Sox as a Rule 5 guy, didn't stick there, had Tommy John, and now he's good. Anyway, can you talk about those two guys?
Sure. I mean, Nick was a late minor league sign. I think one of the things that was valuable from a front office perspective and an organization perspective is that he was willing to come in on a minor league deal that gives us a lot of flexibility in terms of roster building, in terms of getting some major league depth in AAA. I think really the biggest thing for him has been health. I think if you asked him, when he's been healthy, he's been a big leaguer. He's gotten big league hitters out, and he's been healthy all spring. We've done a lot of preventative work, did a lot of certain training with our medical staff, our strength staff, to make sure that he's able to compete and pitch when needed. But he's got big league stuff. He's got a big league fastball. He has velo. He has secondary power stuff and is able to get outs in the strike zone. So really excited about where he is currently. And, again, I think whenever you can have arms off the roster that could be called up at a pinch to get major league hitters out, you're doing something right. And Nick has certainly filled that role for us so far. And I'm sure when his name is called at some point, he will be certainly ready to help that major league club, help our major league club. Drew, someone who we drafted, we've developed. You know, the Rule 5 draft is such a really unique piece of baseball. It really provides players an opportunity to get out of maybe a situation where they are blocked or they're not getting a chance to go to the big leagues and potentially stick on with another club where they can be the player that they're hoping they can be. There are pros to that. There are cons to that as well. You know, someone like Drew got added to the White Sox roster, and his development pass was altered a bit, and probably there were some things that maybe he was unable to finish, unable to figure out before he was forced to basically make the team and stay on that team. So he was able to stick with the White Sox. They returned him eventually, and I think we kind of picked up where we left off, continuing to ask him to add some weight, continue to ask him to focus on his velo, and he did both. He came in spring training in probably the best shape since I've been with him, added a ton of really good weight. His fastball velo, he's been up to 97, which he has not touched previously, and he's healthy as well. So ton of credit to Drew for, I think, looking in the mirror and understanding that this is his career and he needs to make some adjustments to what he's doing to be the pitcher that he knows he could be. And then I think, too, a ton of credit to our pitching group for giving him a plan, having him stick to it, and then allowing him to have the success that he has had so far. Again, another guy who's off the roster, who is prepared to help that major league club at some point when necessary. And I expect that to happen at some point, just because of what he's been able to do in AAA, and he's been able to pitch deep in games. He's been able to maintain velocity. He's been able to get swings and misses in the strike zone. Just a lot of things that we're looking for in terms of major league players and in development. He has showed. So really excited about both, but I think Drew, especially because he is, you know, he's a homegrown guy, despite having a bit of a crossroads in his career with the White Sox. But really excited about where he currently is.
All right, I lied. I had one more question. So, and it's the guy, another guy who's banking on the baseball isn't boring bump, because Yasmani Grandal, I talked to the other day.
Yeah.
How, it's just been a few days, but it's sort of, as he said, it's like he convinced his kids. He said, I'm going to give you a dog. I'm going to give you a PS5 if you let me go play for the Worcester Red Sox and be mentored under Brian Abraham. And sure enough, there he is. What's your takeaway from his stint so far?
Yeah, so far so good. When I spoke to him the first day, he told me he needed a couple days to receive off a machine and he'd be ready to go. And that has certainly been the case. So we've gotten him in there. He'll play a few games per week, continue to ramp him up. But AAA staff, Trace, has said really good things. I mean, he's a veteran big leaguer. He's caught a lot of years in the big leagues. He's hit the big leagues. He's a first round pick out of a big time college, a guy that I think works really hard and goes about it the right way. So it's always good to have those guys in the clubhouse, no matter what the outcome is, just because he has done it. He knows what it takes, and he's going to work to get to back to where he wants to be. So, so far so good. Still, you know, he didn't have a spring training. He doesn't have the reps that some of the other guys have, but again, being a veteran, understanding what he knows he needs to do to get prepared, I think there's another gear that he's able to turn on and get ready for the season, and has shown that in the short amount of time he's been with Worcester.
All right, I'm contractually obligated to end the interview by asking who the Patriots are going to draft. Do you know?
You have don't know. I don't know. I mean, I have
just
a bunch of
Travis
different thoughts.
Just say Travis Hunter. By the
I
way,
I don't want to start saying names, you know, here and there. Just it's a you know.
You're I know your draft reputation is at stake.
I mean, I have my mock draft coming out Monday morning, so you know, I don't want to give any secrets out.
All right, fair enough. And by the way, can we just switch the draft back to the original date? I mean, like, what's Major League Baseball doing? And I know that you can't say anything because you don't want to be fined by the commissioner. But it's like you got enough going on with the trade deadline, when you're dropping the draft at the All-Star game. And then all next thing you know, you're doing it at like a Cow Palace in Dallas where they're doing, you know, rodeos and six guys are showing up. This is my rant against the MLB draft. They just desperately want to do it right. But, you know.
Yeah.
You know?
No, intentions are right. I mean, hey, there's a lot that goes into a lot of these decisions. I would just say, you know, farm directors, we are the super utility players of an organization. We'll adjust and adapt to whatever Major League Baseball throws at us. And, you know, what they tell us to do, we'll do. We'll handle it. But if it's in July, we'll handle it in July. If it's in December, we'll do it in December. So I'm at the will of Major League Baseball and happy to be so.
All right, I'm going to go around the room. Gordo, player comp for Brian Abraham.
Ooh. let's do what was Brock Holt's All-Star season? Was it 16? No, 14?
16, I think.
16?
All right.
Brock Holt's All-Star.
Sammy, Player comp for Brian Abraham.
I think he's a prime Bill Hall from the Milwaukee Brewers.
Oh, in the prime.
Oh, wow.
That's another all-star.
Didn't
he crush it in
his peak? Didn't Bill
Hall have Bill Hall was a good player.
That's Brian.
Not so much when he put on the Red Sox.
Prime, like prime that. Bill Hall.
All right, Pat, what do you got?
Let's go with second baseman Christian Vasquez.
Not as good as the others, but big leaguer nonetheless. I'll take it.
Prime Bill Hall hit 35 homers.
Oh, there you go. Oh, man. Oh,
wow.
Yeah, you come on the program, you feel better about yourself.
Home Run Derby champion.
All right. Hey, as always, we really appreciate it.
I was thinking Brock Holt, that game he hit the cycle for the cycle at Yankee Stadium. That's what kind of was.
Yeah, I was thinking Brock Holt when he threw 31 miles an hour. So
okay. All right. Okay. I think that's enough for today, Rob.
Yeah. Hey, we build up. We tear down to build up. We always appreciate you. Thank you so much. All right.
Of course.
All right. Thanks, guys. All right. The great Brian Abraham, dream maker once again. This has been the Baseball Isn't Boring Show. We're running a little bit late. We can pick through what he said. Shane Drohan, : best shape of his life. Also, what was the thing that? Oh, your guy, Early, right? Ely.
Connor Early.
That's Early.
Yeah. So we can pick through what he said, especially at the beginning of the interview about Roman Anthony, which we've talked a lot about. 617-779-7937. We're getting ready for the great game of baseball here at Fenway Park, the Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. And a reminder to everybody that this show is brought to you by your New England Ford dealers and F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years, and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Right now, we're going to trend.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox beat the White Sox 10-3 last night at Fenway. Rookie Hunter Dobbins making his second big league start. He went 6 innings, allowing 2 runs, just 1 earned, on 3 hits while striking out 6. Trevor Story stayed hot. He went 3-for-4 with a pair of 3-run home runs. And here's what Alex Cora had to say about his shortstop after the game.
When he's healthy, he's 30-30. You know, this guy's really good, so we haven't seen the healthy version of Trevor Story. My job is to keep him on the field, and I'll do my best. Plays he produces, you know, and, you know, so far it's been fun to watch.
Game 2 of that 4-game set against the White Sox continues this afternoon when Garrett Crochet takes the mound opposite Danvers native Shane Smith for the White Sox. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Joe Weil will get you started on the MassMutual pregame show at 3:10. Then Will Fleming and Will Middlebrooks will have the call of the game, first pitch at 4:10. In other Red Sox news, the Sox announced today that they have activated reliever Liam Hendricks off the injured list. Hunter Dobbins is heading back to AAA to make room for Hendricks. NBA play-in tournament wrapped up last night with the Heat and Grizzlies claiming the 8th seed in their respective conferences. Playoffs officially underway this afternoon with Game 1 in the Bucks, Pacers, Nuggets, Clippers, Knicks, Pistons, and Lakers and Timberwolves series. Celtics, of course, will have to wait until tomorrow to kick off their pursuit of Banner 19. They'll host the 7th seed Orlando Magic in Game 1. Tip-off at the Garden set for 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. NHL playoffs also kicking off tonight. Jim Montgomery and the St. Louis Blues heading to Winnipeg to take on the Jets. And Charlie Coyle and the Colorado Avalanche are in Dallas taking on the Stars. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Baseball Isn't Boring coming up after this.
Baseball Isn't Boring with Brad Lowe on WEEI.
All right, everybody out there getting ready to run the marathon, this is a great opportunity for you to exercise your knowledge when it comes to controlling your heart rate. Control the heart rate. You guys ever do that? Ever go off your heart rate?
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Pat, Sammy, Gordo, play Jesse. Pat says yes?
Yes.
All right, what's your heart rate at right now?
My watch is dead. My resting?
Yeah.
48.
Whoa, doctor. Yeah. Look at you. Look at you.
I'm going to act impressed. Like I have no idea what any of these numbers are.
48's low.
I want to do that when we get a chance, maybe next break. We have one more break to go before we head into the pregame show. This is a Baseball Isn't Boring Show. I'm Rob Bradford. Joe Weil takes over then. Maybe after the next break, I will gauge my heart rate before and after we play Ace of Spades, before we play the rejoin coming back from the break. All right? Because in the marathon, one thing that all these people out here, they are getting ready. This is the calm before the storm, the big, big day, Monday. It is such a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be in Boston. It's a great time to be at Fenway Park. It's a great time to be at Fenway Ford Clubhouse Studios with you fine folks. I am so honored and privileged. Pat, Sammy, Gordo, thank you for all that you do. The Playtessie podcast, thank you for Zach behind the glass. It's just a great weekend, and it's a nice day. Everybody should just revel in this. And people we said before who are driving in to see the local guys, Mike Vassell, Sean Burke, and Shane Smith, all of the White Sox, all local kids, all played against each other in high school. It's going to be packed full of their friends and family from Danvers, from BC High, across, and all these things. It's just a great, great weekend. Finally, we're getting into the baseball season. And one thing I do want to say, and I want to get your guys' take on this before we get into the Tristan Casas sad trombone talk. I do want to get your vibe meter. I want to get your vibe talk. I know that Alex Cora has referenced, like, he feels like it's a little bit different. So, walking into the park, I was thinking about this today. I do feel like there's at least a smidgen of more excitement at this time on April 19th with the Boston Red Sox at 11-10 out and about among the generic, faceless, nameless, we kind of go to the code of Fenway Park when it feels right crew. Than there was a year ago.
The fringe.
Yeah. Do you get that vibe?
I get the vibe, but I think a lot of it is because at this time a year ago, I mean, they started off 7-3, and then Trevor Story goes down, and then they immediately get ice cold, stop playing defense, and it felt like they were going in the wrong direction, and the vibes didn't really pick back up again until a little bit closer to the All-Star break. Like at this time last year, vibes weren't good. It didn't look like they were going in a good direction. Now they've won 4 out of 5 games. They're playing the White Sox for 3 in a row more. You got Garrett Crochet on the mound. You have to feel good about things. It's just, understandably, the vibe is different.
Yeah. All right. Sammy, you agree with that?
Kind of, sort. I think the vibe's a little bit different. On opening day, the home opener, I should say, felt very different. That was great. But now it's kind of settled down a bit. I think the vibes are trending in the right direction to the point where if this team is good a month or two from now, then I think we'll really feel the difference. But right now, it's a mild improvement.
All right, Pat, before I give my hot take, what do you got?
No, I think it's definitely higher. I think days like today, high 70s, 80s.
Yeah, but see, that's different. I want to separate.
But no. My point being, like, attendance has not been, you know, great, but it's also been 40 degrees and pouring rain.
But
the hype in the Fenway crowd, yes, I think it is much better than last year. But I think that's also in part due to the hype coming into the season. Last year, no one was really hyping up the Red Sox.
Can I say something, too, before you
may
hot take? I think there's an element of people expect more of this team. So, like, last year when they were 7-3, it was, oh, my gosh, could this team be something that I didn't expect? Oh, my God, this is really exciting. Whereas this team playing well now, you almost get a sense of, okay, this is what they're supposed to be doing. Like, it's not people bouncing through
Gordo,
the roof.
Don't you feel those casual fans, the fringe fans, don't you feel that group is more of a show me kind of group?
Yes.
Like they need to see it before.
Definitely.
That leads me to what I'm talking about, though. And so the extreme example of this, of getting fans back, of getting fans to believe, are the Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles gutted their fan base for years upon years upon years. Then they get this young, exciting group. They start winning. They feel better about themselves. But anybody who goes to Camden Yards on a random day, they don't have everybody back. They can show images of the water fountain or the spraying everybody in left field. It's not the same. And now, by the way, the owner isn't doing nearly as much as everyone thought he would. So now you aren't getting the fan base back. You aren't getting that casual fan. When I was just getting married in Baltimore, where Camden Yards was the be-all, end-all, like, that was a place to be. It was gutted for the last 10 years. And it's so difficult, even with these good teams, to get that fan base back to believe. I don't think it's that way with the Red Sox. The Red Sox, as last year showed, you can have the Alex Cooper bobblehead doll or whatever, the Noah Kahn bobblehead doll. You can have whatever. You can get people here. They got people here.
For a day, though.
Right, but still.
A lot of opposing.
They were able to piece it together. so that the attendance was just enough. Now, they invested. They said, all right, it's no longer just going to be about the Tom Warner Fenway experience and more. We're going to actually have a good team with good players, with players that have the names on the back of these little kids' jerseys. Which I'll say this. You know what name I've seen the most on any jersey?
Christian Campbell.
Christian Campbell.
A lot of Campbell.
A lot of Campbell.
I saw a guy post from Germany that he had a Christian Campbell jersey the other day.
And I got to think, because I remember John Lester complaining about this. John Lester, for years upon years, could not get a Lester jersey in the pro shop or whatever, in the gift shop.
What?
Yeah. And the Red Sox are smart enough now. There's a reason why their Campbell jerseys are around. And it's not because they're getting specifically made like the fans are. They're going to the store and it's smacking them in the face. Here's Christian Campbell's jersey. Correct?
Absolutely.
Right. Yep.
They should.
Yeah. And so you have that dynamic. But my question is, how long and what are they going to have to do to get people to, I think you touched on this, to get people to believe that this team is worthy of investing? You're not going to get to the level of 04. You're not going to get to the level of 07. You're not going to get to the level maybe of even 13.
In terms of what?
In terms of people living and dying with this team. Like they're,
what about 21? How'd you feel about 21?
I don't feel people bought into that till really, really late.
That was kind of 13 too, though.
That's what I think it's going to be.
I'll give you the 13 example.
You're right. It was different. 07 and 04.
Well, what happened was 13 was, remember, you're coming off of 2012. It was terrible. Bobby Valentine, the whole thing. You invest in these players like Victorino and Gomes and Ross and all these guys. And so, yeah, it was a nice story. But what happened was the Bruins went on their run. In the Stanley Cup run, they lost in the finals. And then right after that, you had the Aaron Hernandez trial, which dominated everything. It wasn't until they went on the West Coast at the end of August where people were like, oh, the guys with the beards are actually still in it. Let's go, the Boston Red Sox. And then in 2018, you get off to this incredible 18-2 start. You have the Joe Kelly Fight Club stuff. You have, like, people like that team. People could understand that you had to smack people in the face with the idea that you had a dominant team. And let's not forget that the Red Sox had made the playoffs in the previous couple of years.
You know what they need? This Red Sox team, they need to be on a heater the second the Celtics season ends, because that's when the stage is all theirs, or mostly.
Haven't we said that? Didn't we say that last year as well?
Yeah, and they didn't really do it.
No, weren't they at their best right around then?
But it wasn't. You know, maybe it was their best, but nobody
I think that also last year, even when you get to that point where they were like 11 games over 500 at the All-Star break, something like that, yeah. And even you get to that point, there was this, yeah, okay, they're a nice team.
Yes.
But Patriots, the terrible Patriots are still right around the corner. And they're a nice team. And then right at the point where you're going to buy in totally – they fell apart.
The Rockies.
The Rockies. Right. No, you fell apart. So, and then you had injuries, and then you had the trade deadline, and those things didn't work out, and all of it. The point is that this team was made for more of the 2018. As Alex Cora said at the press conference, this is the last time that we ever have. We are not looking back now. This is the last time. The struggles are over. Like, they had basically pushed their chips to the table, middle of the table. As Trace Thompson said to us, he's like, this is the most urgent spring training I've ever been around.
Good.
All right, but you're 11-10. You're 11-10. So my question, like, that's what I want to know. Like, when are people are going to come to Fenway Park, not on marathon weekend, not because it's beautiful at 70 degrees, but because, holy mackerel, this is a team that you actually want to see. And I do feel because we can talk about Alex Bregman, and boy, have we talked about Alex Bregman. We just pointed out this picture. I think Christian Campbell is more of a sign of optimism for the casual fan than Alex Bregman is, to be honest with you. Because people like that. People like the what might be. As even though Christian Campbell may never be as good as Alex Bregman, they like the idea that he might be three times as good as Alex Bregman.
Well, it's a little bit of both, because I think the casual fans want that. Yes, they want the unknown. That's intriguing, but they also want to know that ownership is invested in the team. That's important to people. And the Alex Bregman thing, more important than actually getting to watch the player, it was seeing that ownership would invest that kind of money in a player.
Right, right. How many people did you hear go, I'm not going to Fenway until John Henry invests in this team?
Yeah, but
Fair enough.
No, and then what happens though is that when things don't go exactly, oh my goodness, Alex Bregman made four errors. Like, you put yourself in the crosshairs.
Yeah.
And like, this isn't how it's supposed to work out. So I just find it fascinating this time where all these people are lining up and it's 11-10. And like, this is an outlier. Pat, to your point, like, yeah, you know, it's great. It's a great weekend. Fine. You know, but still, they could be well under 500. And still people would come out because this weekend's about Fenway Park. This weekend is about, holy mackerel, finally we have sunshine. We have somewhat good weather. Yay, baseball. But I want to know, like, what the feeling is and understanding that, are they going to be able – is this Red Sox team going to be able to separate itself from the rest of this awful American League? As Gordo said, the awful American League. Separate yourself. And when we ask the question next week to say, hey, you know what, who is the best team in the American League? Well, it's no question. It's the Red Sox. They have the talent to do that. But you can't make the most errors. You can't be scoring one run a game.
You can't strike out 12
times. You can't strike out a million times a game. All right, before we go to a break, and let's go to Brian in Milton. Hey, Brian, how are you?
How you doing, guys? I just want to talk about the fan situation. You know, you got Crochet on the mound today against his former team. He's an ace, and I think the season and the team's going in the right direction.
That's true. I think Crochet being on the mound does help a little bit.
How can the vibes not be good?
But, you know, Brian, I'm glad you brought that up, because we had talked about that throughout spring training about, hey, when you get your ticket to a Red Sox game, it's been a long time where you said, I got the ticket, I'm looking at the schedule, who's pitching? I got the Garrett Crochet ticket. Today, congratulations to all you people out there on Lansdowne Street. Yes. You've done it.
You win.
You're the big winner.
One more thing, you know, at the end of the day, it's knock knock, who's there? It's Crochet, and the bats are alive. Still run bomb last night? Are you kidding me?
This is a great call. Yeah, Brian, who's there?
Brian,
it's Crochet.
Yeah, Brian. Thanks, man. Thanks for the call.
Brian fires me up.
Yeah, well, I mean, but he's, you know, this is the example, right? We have, oh my goodness, Trevor Story can't be beat. Sedan Rafaela, how dare you? Like, not entertain sending him down for Roman Anthony. And now you have Garrett Crochet. All is right with the world, even though, you know, if they lost last night, then we'd be talking about all the things that went wrong. And I thought it was a great question, a great conversation at the beginning of the show. It was like, okay, which did you feel worse about? The White Sox lost, the Rays lost? Because there's another one of these coming. You're not out of the woods yet.
No, it's an up and down. It always is. Even with the best teams, there's going to be terrible losses and injuries that make you question.
But Gordo, like, here's the thing though, the Crochet thing, like, it's early, but he's done exactly what you expect.
Yeah.
If you ever want to know the importance of getting a guy like that, just go through the first couple of weeks of the Red Sox season of changing the narrative on a dime, which is exactly what happened.
The Baltimore start was so early, yeah. But it felt so, you know, not pivotal, but you could feel the momentum shift. It started like an early
season. And of course, last Sunday, right? I mean, it's not a better example of that. All right, we got to take a quick break. We got one more segment to go. I'm going to measure my heart rate when we come back because I it's the closest I'm going to come to running the marathon. This year, anyway. Maybe next year. Maybe we'll run it together.
Yes. Ah,
yeah.
I'll do it with you.
You will?
Absolutely.
No.
I would love to.
All right.
I'm out.
Oh, jeez.
I've run less than a marathon's worth of miles in my life. You think I'm going to do it all at
once?
Yeah.
Well, again, I know I look like a marathoner, but I have run the marathon.
I think that's a huge accomplishment that you've done.
I'm serious. If you can get me into the marathon, I will take it seriously and I will actually do it.
I've been talking about it for a year.
Yeah,
I want to do it. So I've been talking about it for years. I really want to run the marathon.
And oh, by the way, if anyone running in the marathon out there wants to wear a baseballs and boring shirt for the marathon, and I know that's a great thing to do, wear a shirt. We'll put whatever charity you want on it. I'll be happy to do that. Let me know. DM me. Email me. Whatever it is. And I'll get that to you. Baseball is more. We want to support the great causes that are out there, because that's a big part of this marathon day. All right, 617-779-7937. One more segment to go. Yes, we will touch on the Tristan Casas situation. It's amazing, fellas, that we've gotten this far without diving into the Tristan Casas thing. Far cry from last week, and he hasn't really done anything to change the narrative, to be honest with you. But The conversation continues. All right, we'll be back after this.
It's knock, knock, who's there? It's Crochet.
Now, more of Bradfoe and Baseball Isn't Boring on WEEI.
And streaming everywhere on the Odyssey app.
What'd you say, Pat, your resting heart rate was?
Resting heart rate, 48.
48. All right. This is the Baseball Isn't Boring show, where we always get your heart rate up. My heart rate right now is 71. I want to chalk that up not because of my physical condition, but because I'm coming back from a break with Ace of Spades by Motorhead, and I'm jacked up to talk some baseball with you fellas for the last couple minutes here before we go to the pregame show and Joe Weil. Yep, we are talking baseball. Baseball Isn't Boring show live from Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. Speaking of which, we're brought to you by your New England Ford dealers in F-Series, America's best-selling truck for 48 years and the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. Well, guys, play Tessie, guys. Pat, Gordo, Sammy, we can't go a whole show without diving into the Tristan Casas situation. I touched on it at the very beginning saying that this was another example last night how you could use something useful, in this case, Romy Gonzalez, to get to where you want, which was the plan A. The plan A was undeniably Tristan Casas, cleanup hitter, middle of the order. Don't you dare trade him for Vlad Guerrero Jr., all of the above. All right? So now we're sitting here. And a week ago, we thought, hey, maybe in a week from now, things will be different. Well, the narrative hasn't changed. And I know that people probably will want to call in and say, oh, you guys were full of hooey. But I'll say this, you know, I'll repeat myself, and I'll probably reiterate what you guys are going to say. A week from now, the narrative could very well change as well. I mean, this is just how it is with Tristan Casas. All right, it is time for the weekly Tristan Casas vibe check. Gordo, you got a smirk on your face. Go ahead.
Well, if you watched the clip from our last podcast or you listened to the podcast or anything, you know that I have endless, endless faith in Tristan Casas to turn this around. In the Rays series, okay, he struck out three times in his 10 plate appearances, put seven balls in play. Those seven balls, you ready to hear the exit velocity?
Oh, I can't wait.
Ooh.
All right, so you got a couple low, 76.1, 83.7. Outside of that, 97.4, 99.9, 101.5, 110.7, 108, 99.8. That is six batted balls above 97 miles an hour. And yes, then they had the off day, and he sat yesterday against the lefty, which, by the way, like, even as a huge Tristan Casas guy, I'm okay with him only facing righties until he gets going. I know that the splits right now favor him against lefties. That's going to even itself out at some point in his career.
All right.
And by the way, if you're not aware, those numbers that Gordo gave, you have a much higher chance of getting a hit with a hard hit ball, high exit velocity.
Write it down, Rob. I see people always write it down.
I'm writing
people
this
always
down.
Make fun of us. They're like,
oh, we're here to educate.
He is so close to breaking through. I'm so confident.
Rob, you
put it on me.
Joking?
I'll take it.
No, I'm not. Joking. No, I never think you're joking.
People really question, why would you post exit velocity? It is important. It indicates he will come around. I'm so sick of talking about
it. Go look in the comments of my latest Tristan Casas tweet from a couple days ago, and you'll find everyone you needed.
Yeah, I don't look at comments. All right. Sammy and Pat, hold on a second because I want to get to these callers because they've been hanging on. John and Gardner. Hey, John, how are you?
What are we doing, Bradfoe? Let's go.
Let's go. Let's go.
I got two quick questions. One for you, Bradfoe. What's the over-under on when Casas is going to tell us he's a superior defensive player?
I'm going to give that June 1st.
All right. And young folks, I need you on a 1 to 10 basis, 10 being an A+, I need you to rate Rob's mentorship.
Great question. Yeah, great question, John.
I'll take this
talk
one.
Talk to you later. Thanks, Brett.
Thanks, John.
The three of us would not be here or anywhere close to this without Rob and his mentorship. Mm-hmm. I love that you asked that question because I really do, and especially I know, hey, Rob, did you know we have 200 episodes of Playtesting?
I heard 200.
I can subscribe.
Those 200 YouTube episodes would never have existed in this world.
YouTube.
Without
Twitter,
Rob.
TikTok.
Without
Rob, yeah.
Rob, as I love it because we talked about earlier in the show, Red Sox are getting their bolts blown off by the Rays earlier this week. Who do I get a call from checking in? It's Rob.
Yeah, mental health.
Mental health check-in. Rob, I'm serious. He's just been... he's been a life changer for me, and I think I can speak for the three of us. He really has changed our lives.
not for the better, but I have changed your life.
Look at the modesty.
I'm also wearing the same exact jacket I met Sammy for the first time in.
How do you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Do you remember,
I have the photo.
Oh,
we took
true.
A photo when I caught Jalen Beeks' live BP ball. I said, anyone want this? And Sammy ran down, and I met him outside Fenway Park. What a thrill for him.
What a thrill, really.
I don't want to talk about myself. Tim and Lowell, what's going on, Tim?
Afternoon, boys. Quick comment on Cassis. I actually want to call and talk about the catcher situation. But Tristan Cassis, I hope he has a great week next week hitting up in Portland. I don't even want him a whistle. Send him back to Portland. You know what? Nowhere in his biography will you ever read that he's a hard-nosed baseball player. I think he would be just as happy being a cast member in a Boston play as he is being a baseball player. He doesn't impress me as a guy who's that interested in playing the game. But that's my say on that. But you know, I want to talk about Neves. I think this guy is doing a great job handling his pitching staff. And I think that's the most important thing for a catcher is what do they get out of the pitching staff? How do they handle them? I would like to see him stay as a regular catcher. Move on from Wong. I know he gets hot and has a good bat every now and then. But I like the job this guy's doing. And I like the fact that, like, the kid who pitched last night, he throws strikes. If you throw strikes, you can win in this league. And the same thing with Newcomb, a former number one pick. If you throw strikes, the kid can be successful. He might be another Andrew Miller that they picked up. So that's my say. Keep Neves behind the plate, guys.
You know, it helps to throw strikes when your catcher steals strikes routinely.
I'm going
to
tell you what. That was a sneaky good call.
Oh, yeah.
That Tim, like, because whether you agree with him or not about Casas, how he articulated that in a multitude of ways is how a lot of people, that faction of people, actually feel. And he articulated it in a very entertaining and insightful way. Now, we might not agree with it, but still, excellent job. And also brings up a very good point. Like Narvaez, or we'll call him Narvaez, he is a guy, like, at this point, you say, well, who should play more when Connor Wong comes back? Who should play more? It's a legitimate conversation.
I think I don't think it's cut and dry with who plays more between Wong and the Narv. I think it's more like you start to mix in the guys more. It's not 75% Wong anymore.
Wasn't the Narv one of the creatures in Elf? You know, one of the things that came out of the water?
Isn't that a narwhal?
Yeah, well, it's close enough. That's what his nickname should be.
Well,
narwhal.
I've been calling him the Narv, and Gordo and Pat hate it, but I think it's fantastic. And Gordo wants to call him Narvy because Cora stand out.
Narv sounds like you're choking on something.
Yeah, that's great. It'll freak the other team out. They'll be like, the Narv, then they'll choke and strike three.
Pat, you want to weigh in on something, I can tell.
Yeah, one thing that we just glossed over a lot there. Is that the first and only time that Sean Newcomb will be likened to Andrew Miller?
Yeah,
it made you think, though.
It made me.
Because
you got a physical reaction. I'll give him that. I got a physical reaction.
Well, but remember the Andrew Miller. Andrew Miller, when he, obviously a former first-round pick,
yep,
highly touted with Detroit, wasn't able to figure it out. And then he gets to the Red Sox. And I remember this. Speaking of, we've been talking a lot about documentaries. They had that documentary, The Knuckleball. Do you remember this? And it followed a lot about Tim Wakefield. And one of the scenes in that showed Andrew Miller during, I think it was the 2012 season, and he had this leg kick that was like up by his ear. And the next thing you know, he's just like lifting his front foot barely off the ground and making all-star teams.
Slide step, right?
Every pitch, though. Every pitch.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know if Sean Newcomb's going to be that, but why not? Why not? Why not? It's an embarrassment of riches. That's where we come to, right?
It's a much better conversation than what we were having last year when we didn't have enough
players
to fill the role.
Well, Cora said this before the game and even before Dobbins shoved yesterday, right? It is true. And one of the things that we should look up, you don't have to do bullpen games.
No.
Holy mackerel. You don't have to do bullpen game.
We're talking about what do you do with Richard Fisk because there's only so many spots to go.
What are you going to do with Sean Newcomb?
The nuke. I don't know.
I tell you what, though. It is amazing. The once we mentioned Tristan Casas' name at the very end of the show, boom, the floodgates open. Doesn't it? I mean, it's incredible. And as you said, Tim and Lowell, good job by him. I forget the analogy you used, but he'd rather be in a Broadway play. I don't believe that's true, but still – applause to him for
creativity,
right? So a week from now. So what do they got? They got the White Sox and the Mariners, right?
Yep.
White Sox, Mariners, and then the Guardians. You guys will be in Worcester. Everybody who's coming out to the Woo Sox game next Saturday, what a thrill. It's going to be playtesting night, playtesting day at Polar Park. You guys ever been there before?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, you've never been, Pat?
Oh, I've never been.
It's
great. Okay, you guys.
Polar Park is great.
All right, you guys can talk about it down, you know, after the show. But next Saturday, playtesting day at Polar Park, whether the Woo Sox know it or not. So you guys will be there a week from now. Where are we going to be at? Gordo first.
With the Red Sox?
With the Red Sox.
Oh, I think they're going to continue this hot streak, and I think they're going to take care of business with the Mariners too. I feel really good about where this team is right now.
Okay.
I think – what are they? So they play – do they have an off day on Thursday, right?
All right. They have –
no, they don't.
Today, Sunday, Monday, no off days. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
So seven games.
I
bet they win five out of those seven.
Five of seven.
I think they're going to keep this hot streak going. Whoa. It starts today with Kershaw.
All right, okay, all right. And also, by the way, sneakily much better offensively at home. Anyway, go ahead, Sammy. What do you got?
I think they'll win – I'll go four out of seven. That Mariners pitching is –
no Kirby, though.
No Kirby, but they do have Logan Gilbert. They have Luis Castillo.
Sox crushed Gilbert last year.
Yeah, that was a year.
They're going to miss Gilbert.
And we will have a different conversation about Tristan Casas.
Yeah, I think today, I actually saw the script. Casas is actually hitting a home run today.
Okay.
Sorry for the spoiler.
Pat,
that was going to be my guarantee.
Okay.
Kristen Casas over the bullpen today.
Today.
Ooh.
Love it.
All right.
Yes. Today. I'm going to play it angry.
Wait, which bullpen?
The ball well.
Away bullpen.
Away bullpen. So he's going to, okay.
Well.
Okay.
I will say if you can go 507 games, you will. I don't think we'll be, I think we won't be any closer. I think they're still trying to figure a lot of stuff out. I just do. But I will say, I do think they have a good chance at winning today.
They're going to win today.
How bold of you.
They're going to win today.
All right. Well, guys, it's been an honor and privilege, as always. I appreciate you coming down to Ford Fenway Clubhouse Studios. The park is always alive when you get here. Zach, excellent job behind the glass. Always awesome. Pat, Sammy, Gordo, Play Tessie. A good week coming up at Play Tessie. Go check it out. Obviously, at baseball, at BB isn't boring. Baseball isn't boring. Go check that out. Podcast every single day. And Zach, just such a good job, man. Such a good job. And, of course, Dream Maker, Brian Abraham. You're going to want to wiggle, put that up online. Want to go check that in. A lot of good nuggets there. Read between the lines. You're going to find all the solutions to your problems. All right. But we'll be back next week. This has been the Baseball Isn't Boring show on WEEI. Next Saturday, maybe live from Polar Park. We'll see you then.